So the first difficulty that comes to us when we try to comprehend on some level Hashem is again our limited sight and our limited understanding. But I think there's a second problem that affects us when we try to comprehend Hashem and Hashem's relationship with us. And that is a psychological concept called projection. I'm sure intuitively you're familiar with this. The concept is that oftentimes the way people feel themselves, they project onto other people. So for instance, let's assume I'm stingy. Because that's my nature and that's the way I react, I project that feeling onto you and I view you functioning with the same modus operandi. So I interpret your acts, I interpret your intentions as also stingy. If I'm a cynical individual, then it's not just I who am cynical, I view the whole world sharing my traits, so I view everything that other people do in the same manner. I project my emotions, my vantage point onto other people, and that's how I read them. Hence, many people will misinterpret and misunderstand other people's reactions based on their bias, based on their mode of operation. And this concept oftentimes limits one's sights in his human relations. And I believe especially when it comes to dealing with our Creator, that's a very, very limiting concept. Because even if I spent a lifetime working on my midos, even if I spent a lifetime on learning to be generous and magnanimous and loving and kindly, I am but a boss of a dumb and I am very limited. Hence, for me to imagine the Creator of the heavens and the earth, someone so beyond every single expression, so beyond any physicality, someone who is, kaviyachol, so giving and kindly and so loving that it is beyond any human definition, it is difficult for me to relate to that because that's not the way I operate. At the end of the day, I'm selfish, I'm stingy, I'm self-centered, so it's difficult for me to relate and identify with someone who's the exact opposite. And that becomes a problem in developing a relationship with Hashem. By taking my mode of thinking, the way I operate, and projecting it, kaviyachol, onto Hashem. So what I'd like to do is spend a moment or two, if we can try to break out of our preconceived notions about generosity and love, and see if we can take an example from a human being who reached an amazing level of love for another human being that absolutely boggles the mind. And I'll tell you what that example is. In Shmuel Beis, we're told, the Pasuk tells us that Avshalom was gorgeous. He was absolutely beautiful. Without a mum, from head to toe, there was no man as beautiful as he in Yisrael, says the Pasuk. He had long, flowing hair that once a year he would cut. And in fact, the Gemara tells us, Gemara Sota tells us that because of that hair, he ended up failing. He became a Balgaiva. He became a Balgaiva, and after Amnon was killed by him, he decided that he was to be the next king. David HaMelech, Bechor Amnon, was first in line. He was not, Avshalom was not second in line, but he decided because of his beauty, because there's no one like him, he decided that it was fit for him to be king. But he was afraid that David HaMelech might appoint Shlomo as king. So he started his plan. He began appearing in front of the palace with a chariot pulled by a huge team of horses, in front of which 50 men ran ahead, and he began acting with grandeur, with great kavod, and he would stop in front of David HaMelech's palace. And in those days, the main, or certainly one of the main jobs of the king, was to be the shofet. And people would come to the Melech for judgment. He would stop at the entrance of the palace and he would say to people, "What's the problem? Why are you coming here?" So the man would say, "Well, I had a judgment to bring to the king." Avshalom would say, "Tell me the story." The man would say the story. Avshalom would say, "You're 100% right. If I were king, I would judge for you in your favor. You'd be 100% right. You'd win this case hands down. Unfortunately, I'm not king." He would say this to each man who passed, since he would say it to both sides of the case, invariably he was 50% of the time he was right, 50% wrong, but since he told everybody that they would be right, he stole the hearts of Israel. And people began loving him, and he acted with great humility. When people recognized him as a prince and they would bow down to him, he would say, "Don't bow down," he would hug them. And he was Gonev Lev Yisrael. To the extent that when he asked his father permission to go to Hebron, and he went to Hebron, and he planned out to conquer Yisrael, he sent out messengers to all of the cities of Yisrael, that when I blow the shofar, you should know, say the words, Avshalom now reigns as king. He went to Hebron, sent out the message, and the word spread in Yisrael that Avshalom is now melech. Many, many thousands of the Gibori Chayil joined Avshalom. The word quickly came to David HaMelech that there was going to be a siege on his palace. And he was mortally afraid, because Avshalom had amassed an army and was going to lay siege to his father's palace. So David HaMelech told his loyal soldiers, "Let's run." David HaMelech was chased out of his own palace. And the Pasuk tells us that he left 10 Pilegishes, 10 of his concubines, he left to guard the palace. But he ran out, he left, and at a certain point he's running barefoot, being chased by his son. Avshalom takes over the palace of David HaMelech, takes these 10 Pilegishes up to the roof. Le'enei kol Yisrael, so that everyone sees he lives with each one of the Pilegishes, his father's Pilegishes. He then brings his armies out to fight against David HaMelech, his father. And David HaMelech, in conversation to his soldiers, says, "Let me go out to battle." The soldiers say, "No, you're the Melech, you have to stay behind." And David says, "One thing, please be careful with the Nar Avshalom, be careful, don't hurt him." In that battle, 20,000 Jewish soldiers died.